Incoming transmission. Incoming transmission. Let's boogie.
B-Movie Boys, where the movies get the stuff, and sometimes it's good and sometimes it's not. I'm Dave Michaels.
I'm Brian Betts.
We got a wet one today, folks.
It's definitely sloppy and gooey and icky.
It's all the words that don't describe dry, because we are talking about From Beyond from 1986, directed by Stuart fucking Gordon.
Yeah, give it to him.
Have you ever seen From Beyond?
I've never even heard of From Beyond.
Do you feel guilty about that? Because I have friends that made me feel guilty about that.
I feel guilty. Yes, I do.
I feel like this show here, B-Movie Boys, has been more of an experience for the people listening than it has for the people like doing it. Because yeah, we're on a journey going through it like the first time watching these B-movies, something that we thought was something entirely different, it feels like. But then there's a lot of people out there just watching us react to watching these movies the first time. And that's a whole thing. That's unboxing YouTube thing, right?
It's a whole separate level of this that we didn't anticipate.
Let's get on the algorithm. Let's monetize. It's time.
It's time. Yeah. Then
unbox this.
Watch us watch the thing.
Watch
and be like,
watch.
Whoa, that was a thing. And you'd be like, I knew it was a thing, but it's good to know that you know it's a thing now.
And look at the way he reacted visually. I watched him react to it. That's how I know he reacted to it.
Right.
What are we doing with life?
What is happening? What kind of...
I want to address something. What are we doing with life there? I do not have any hot dogs ready to go this week.
No? No hot dogs.
We're out of that period.
This sounds suspiciously like something someone with lots of hot dogs prepared would say.
No. I've been craving, though. I feel like this is not that episode of like It's Always Sunny where they eat people, and then it's like, oh, I get that. It's like, no, I've had now.
Once you get too many
hot dogs at one point, you're just like, that's all I want.
Yeah.
Is just glizzies down my gizzy.
You've opened Oscar Mayer's box. Nathan's box?
That's worse.
Nathan's famous box?
Nathan's famous box.
Yeah.
It's a dick in a Nathan's box. Watch out for the pitchfork. That's not what you need to going into your wiener at all.
You don't want that. No.
Great. From Beyond, B-movie. How do you think it's going to fare?
That's a good question, because this one, God, it feels like it has all the things, all the stuff, but it does feel a little bit too well-produced, maybe? I don't know.
Yes, and then no, once you read into it again. It's one of those.
Yeah, it's one of those.
Do you want to find out how good of a B-movie it is? I think we're about to do a special thing this week, and it makes you so excited. Because it finally happened, folks.
It finally happened.
We'll get there.
We absolutely will. Schlockometer, one movie, 10 categories. Our patented, scientific, arbitrary way of scoring these movies. First category, and it is the audacity, but to determine that, we need to tell you the tale of From Beyond.
Mad scientist Dr. Pretorius invents the Resonator. It's a machine that lets people perceive a hidden dimension full of invisible monsters. He turns it on. It goes poorly. That's the end of the source material. Opening credits. It seems like a good time to say that this is an adaptation of an H.P. Lovecraft quote-unquote story.
Yeah, I didn't know that until the opening credits of this movie.
When you get the giant neon sign of H.P. Lovecraft's From Beyond.
All right, we're getting Lovecraftian. Love it.
It's a 3,000-word short story that might as well just be on like the back of a baseball card.
I was going to say, I think it's 7 pages long.
The opening of this movie, pre-credits, is legitimately the entire short story that they adapted. Everything that follows... So the movie has nothing to do with H.P. Lovecraft's From Beyond for the most part.
Assistant Dr. Crawford Tillinghast activates the machine, gets bitten by an interdimensional creature, and begs Pretorius to shut it down. But Dr. Pretorius refuses because he's too busy having what he calls an orgasm of the mind. Take it where you can get it, I guess.
I'm having issues with Dr. Pretorius' name because I keep thinking of that Blade Runner Olympic guy who killed that lady.
Oh, yeah.
That's an Oscar Pistorius. It's different.
Pistorius is different from Pretorius, but barely.
They're both horrible people.
Yeah. Honestly, the traits evident in one probably spring up in the other. Shouldn't have used spring.
It was appropriate, though.
Pun not intended.
I mean, that's not that bad of a pun. It's not like you were talking to, like, Christopher Reeve and just being like, oh, you just roll it with it.
That's true. That's pretty bad.
After getting bit by this interdimensional creature, Crawford's going to escape the lab using a fire axe. Police are going to arrive to find Pretorius decapitated, and Crawford's going to get blamed for the whole thing. Mostly because he escaped from the lab with a fire axe, and the police found Pretorius Sands' head. So naturally, he's committed to a psychiatric hospital. As you do.
It's a pretty suspicious circumstance there. You look pretty guilty holding the axe when the other guy doesn't have a head.
And yet, did they check and the weapon? Did they?
Did they ever find the head?
No, because it got like sucked off, just ripped right off of that guy.
Right?
Oh, it's weird. I loved it.
You think if it was a hack job, you'd find the head, but these police.
Do you think there's like smooth edges the way it got ripped off, or do you think he left a little like a hangy?
I think there's
there?
Like a there's like a little twisty nub.
You think it's kind of like a cuticle yeah. that got like that you're picking at?
You know, like that a, type like of a spiral. You know, like a piece of plastic from a kid's toy that has like a twist off thing, and when you finish twisting, it's got the little spiral pointy guy at the top.
There's no easy way to put this, but everything that you just did and said made me think of duck dicks.
Yeah, I think that's actually a better metaphor for what I'm trying to describe.
That's terrific. All right.
Duck dick neck.
Oh, not the first mention of dick we're going to have. This is a dick heavy movie.
It's got a lot of dicks.
Or things that look like dick.
That's more appropriate, yeah.
That's more, a very phallic movie.
People who act like dicks. Psychiatrist Dr. Catherine McMichaels believes Crawford's story after she discovers that his pineal gland has physically enlarged, giggity. So naturally, she teams up with Detective Bubba Brownlee to investigate the now-abandoned science house.
You know what's a problem about Detective Bubba Brownlee?
What's the problem?
Is that, even without ever seeing this movie and us going, Detective Bubba Brownlee, you can picture Detective Bubba Brownlee.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, boy.
That is a problem.
Uh-huh.
He is a fantastic character, though.
Well, he's played by Ken Forey.
Yeah.
Of Dawn of the Dead fame.
Kind of looks like Rami Malek, but taller.
Scammy Malek. When you get a fake. Call it what it is.
Yeah.
So the newly formed trio decide to rebuild and reactivate the resonator. Of course, it's going to unleash swarms of invisible creatures from another dimension again. And it also is going to give us the twist, like the neck, the duck dick neck.
The duck dick neck, yeah.
Of showing us the Pistorius. That's still not him. That's
still
it.
Still him.
Not good.
A spring would also be the neck shape.
You're right. Pretorius, he's going to be alive still somehow. Just now he's incredibly horny and he's dripping an half-melted nightmare incubus man who just wants everyone to experience the beyond.
Yeah, he's like, you got to come check this out, guys. It's phenomenal.
Oh, hey, I want to welcome you. This is the bed section. This is the bath section. This is the beyond.
I heard about that in Click.
Come on back here. I'll give you an orgasm of the mind in the beyond.
They shut the machine down and talk about how horny all that science just made them. And then Catherine becomes convinced that the resonator has scientific value. So she's going to secretly turn it back on while everyone else is asleep. Nothing could go wrong there, I'm sure.
No, sneaky science. It's always the best way to science, right?
Yeah, we love it.
Pretorius returns because she turned the machine off. Of course he's going to return. That's what he does now.
He's back, baby.
It's like going in front of a mirror, Bloody Mary, three times. Said you just flip a switch that you definitely shouldn't be flipping.
Guess who's back? Back again. Drippy science guy.
Ew. He's so drippy, so wet. And he only gets more drippy and wet as this movie goes along.
He gets so more and more deformed every time he appears.
He's going to try to feed on Catherine's brain while Crawford and Bubba discover the machine's effects have spread throughout the entire house. They've created a funhouse of interdimensional creatures now. That includes a basement that we didn't know existed until just now, and it's inhabited by a giant flesh-eating worm. Not the one on RFK Jr.'s brain. That got out a while ago. This is a basement worm. Totally different. A
basement worm. And it's not a corkscrew variety.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's important to note.
Well, they go downstairs to try to shut off the machine at the circuit breaker because that awful drippy man won't let them get close to the off switch on the actual resonator.
This is like an old school Frankenstein switch that like, it's on the bottom and you have to lift it all the way up to get it. It's not like a light.
Yeah, one of those guys.
Gotta have authority. I've always wanted to use one.
I've always wanted to use one too.
Would you rather use that or the thing when you blow up a building and you push it down the plunger?
Oh, the building blow-up-y plunger?
Yeah.
That's a good one.
But I feel like it's not nearly as satisfying. Like, obviously, you get the end result, but you could convince me that someone else is pushing the button. Just like, that fucking dildo over there thinks he's pushing the button to blow up.
Just give me a dummy button.
We put explosives in that for a month. You think I'm going to let that asshole just push a button? It's going to blow up the entire thing all willing. Get out of here. Come on.
I think the guy with the $3,000 explosives is going to... Come on. No, I actually, you know the two-pronged handle that's like U-shaped that you push forward, and as it goes forward, that you can hear the electricity getting. Like,
that's what I want. Yeah, I want to hear it build up.
I want to feel that power. I want to see the meter go up to the danger zone and start shaking, you know?
Yes, please. Like, I want a really, really small slice of that safe pie that's green on the meter.
Yeah.
I got to land it in there.
Yeah, you just get that lever up the right part so the gauge is like, oh, yeah, that's it. Oh, no, he's giving it too much power.
I'm, like, thinking about, like, how it would feel, though, if I used the classic science-y switch that goes up and down. Like, I'm thinking of, like, a PS5 controller.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if I push a plunger, I'm not going to get it. I'm not going to get that joy, that resistance.
Yeah, is there a resistance?
Happening.
I don't know.
I need to blow something up. I think that's what it comes down to.
I think we need to experiment.
This is like the most Sid from Toy Story I've ever felt. Like I'm thinking of like my kids' toys. I'm just like, what aren't they using? What can I blow up?
What can I blow up?
For science.
I just need to feel the tactile response of the different plungers, switches, and levers.
I feel like 20 years ago, people would have said, this is how you end up in the newspaper.
Nowadays, it takes a lot more.
Now it's just behind a paywall. You don't really know who the murderers are in your neighborhood unless you give $1.99 a month.
Subscribe to their Patreon.
Oh, you want to find out who's murdering a neighbor? You're going to have to get that on my Substack. I'm only going to tell you that there's a murderer.
You're going to have to subscribe if you want to see me hit the splody button.
You can push the button on the left to get the info and the picture on the right to get pictures of my feet. It's your choice.
Evidence of my crimes or the horny stuff.
That's really all it is. That's the two categories.
Choose your own adventure.
The news, the horny stuff, internet.
After barely surviving, the group tries to leave, but the resonator restarts all on its own.
Dun, dun, dun.
Catherine discovers Pretorius's leather S&M wardrobe and decides to go all Sandy from Greece, just hornier if that's possible.
It's not. Sandy from Greece goes the whole way. Like after she's Danny driving that car and she's like, I need to leather up.
Yeah. That's the message of that movie. Ladies, change everything about yourself.
I don't think it's even that. I think she did it to protect herself because there's that episode of Friends with Ross and the leather pants. Once again, here we go. They're really hard to get off. And maybe she's using the leather of the age as a deterrent that they're really hard to get off. But then again, he's just going to like run his hands through his hair, get that grease, and just like, bam, like Emeril. That's probably how Emeril fucks. I have to imagine.
I don't want to think about how Emeril fucks.
I mean, I'm not against it.
We're going to have to subscribe to his feed. Recipes over here, horny stuff over here.
If you want to get the recipes, you got to click bam. If you want to get the horny stuff, you got to click bang.
Ah, yes.
Man, it's full of onomatopoeia and Bettinger. All three.
Great trio.
I can't wait to talk about trios briefly. We're getting so close talking about it. The house is going to erupt into chaos as flesh-stripping creatures swarm the attic. Bubba's reduced to a skeleton. Pretorius mutates into an even bigger monstrosity. And Crawford's pineal gland erupts from his forehead like one of those fish that has the dangler that used to trick other fish. Except this one looks like a spaghetti dick.
That's exactly what it looks like.
It's that or it's... That episode of South Park way back in the day where Cartman's just doing Red Rocket, Red Rocket.
That, yeah. They actually said on set that they couldn't decide if it looked more like a dog dick or asparagus. But either way, it's not something I want to put in my mouth.
We'll get there.
We will.
when I saw this pineal gland come out of his forehead vagina, nope. Everything about it was a nope.
Yeah, it's a very, very nope situation. Also, I'm happy to hear you call it a pineal gland, because that's always how I've heard it pronounced until I watched this movie, and they're like, the pineal gland.
No, I'm just going to go with my brain and words I've known for forever and not let whatever this is affect my life.
Oh, this has unfortunately already affected my life.
Oh, no, I know, because again, dick spaghetti. It's like fettuccine.
How could dick. You not?
That's what, it's like, it's thicker.
It's like an udon noodle.
It's kind of like a drummer, like his drumstick, but flaccid, like real flaccid.
Like a magician got drumstick. To it. I've never tried to picture a flaccid drumstick, but now, yeah, I think you nailed it.
But that's then what it also, looks like it'll go like, it'll like reel back.
It's surprisingly mobile. Yeah.
I don't like it at all.
I don't like the amount of times that it goes back into his head and then reemerges.
And then pops his head back out like it's a fucking meerkat. I do not like it, Sam. I fucking don't like it. I don't like it. Not even a little bit.
Catherine fries the resonator with a fire extinguisher.
As you do.
Makes sense, right?
It's kind of like Lord of the Rings. Raise Minas Tirith to the ground. I'm like, ah! I know what you mean, but those words! Ah!
But yeah, she manages to get the resonator offline because of fire extinguishing capabilities, and she returns to the hospital where she's promptly declared insane, because obviously, and then scheduled for shock therapy.
Obviously.
Crawford continues to mutate, and he starts snacking on people's brains that he sucks out of their eye sockets. Fuck the MPAA.
Fuck the MPAA!
This is also around the time that he gets predator vision, and he can find brains real easily.
He does briefly get that. So realistically, people could have just like covered their brains in mud. They would have been fine, safe.
Yeah.
Best brains ever.
Cover your pineal glands in mud, and you'd be fine. Oh,
gross. Just like imagine the pineal gland popping out like in like a little mud thing and going back in. Like
just dangling in front of his head like some sort of weird cartoon alien.
If they remade this movie in a Kung Pao way, this thing would be talking. Like it pops out. It would absolutely have a personality.
It would have a face like Tonguey. Yeah.
Oh, goodness. It's so disturbing. This scene is very famous. It is the scene where Crawford is sitting on the floor, literally eating a brain, just snacking on the brain. And the MPAA said, hey, that's gross. And you can't do that.
Hey, yuck.
You're rated X now. So then they recut it 12 times. They're like, you can't do it. He said, yeah, fuck it, man. All right. That's fine. I'll just move on with my life. It doesn't hurt at all.
They had some interesting tactics with how they cut this one.
They do. We'll get there.
So
Catherine escapes again. Everyone gets caught and they escape. That's what this movie is. It's people escaping things, going into bad decisions, and then escaping bad decision to go in bad decision again. That's the movie.
It is. The call from beyond, it should be called Escaping Bad Decisions That You Got Yourself Into.
So she's going to escape. Because she makes bad decisions, she also steals a bomb.
Why are they just keeping bombs at the hospital?
Maybe that's like their defibrillator. But instead they're just like, I don't know, bomb? Clear?
Just keep it in a stockpile of bombs that we got here at the hospital. It's the 80s.
It's one of the classic bombs. It's got the clock on it, like the digital clock that's counting backwards. That you're just like, it's going to stop at one. Or it won't. Like, that's the only way this ends.
Yeah. You know what? This movie, pre-9/11. That's how you can tell. They kept bombs at hospitals.
Catherine wants to destroy the resonator once and for all because she didn't destroy it enough before.
Right. Fire extinguisher wasn't enough. We got to really do this thing in.
Crawford and his pineal gland are going to kidnap Catherine to try to make the sex with her. It's as gross as you think.
It is pretty gross. This is after she tried to reach her hand down his pants while he was asleep earlier in the movie.
Yep, when she was all sandy from Grease.
Yeah. Very horny, wet movie.
But she also wasn't wearing leather pants. Like, she was wearing assless.
That's true.
That's the difference.
Oh, okay. That's the difference.
Catherine doesn't want to have sex with Crawford and his pineal gland, so she just bites off his pineal gland. Just bites off the protrusion where it's popping out.
Yeah, as you do. Boom.
Is Crawford just going to turn back into a boring, mild-mannered research assistant instead of the sex-crazed psychopath where he was at least interesting because science?
Yeah, but he still has like the weird forehead and whatnot.
Yeah, you can't really fix that. That's just another hole, unfortunately, that he could get paid good money for if he knows how to use it.
That's true.
That's the ZJ.
That's the other link, not the news.
Bang! So Pretorius is also going to reappear, and he reclaims his favorite assistant in the grossest way possible.
Yeah. I like that over the course, there's just like less and less of his face until he's basically like a giant shrimp face, and he just kind of sucks him up and does the twisty thing with his head.
He sure does. There's a lot of twisty things with heads, and sucking things up and sucking things out, and everything's wet. And
everything's so sloppy. Everything
is wet.
She's like running up the stairs at one point, and it's just flooding goo. I just, wow.
Very wet. No other way of putting it.
Crawford briefly fights his way out from inside Pretorius's grotesque body before both monsters dissolve into goo. Catherine uses the extra-dimensional bitey worm guys to escape her BDSM shackles just as the attic explodes, crashes through a window, breaks her leg, and ends the movie laughing hysterically while telling the gather crowd, "It ate him!"
Credits.
Credits.
Because for real, that is From Beyond, from 1986, directed by Stuart fucking Gordon. What just happened?
That is a fever dream of a movie if I've ever seen one.
I texted Brian that I could not remember this movie, and I watched it 2 days ago with a whole bunch of people.
Yeah.
I remember how it started, so I remember A, and the ending might as well have just been B. Nothing is stuck in my brain in between.
Absolutely wild.
The audacity.
Take an H.P. Lovecraft story that's 7 pages long and turn it into a feature film.
That's pretty damn audacious.
Turning it into the wettest feature film that's ever been made.
Titanic ain't got shit on this.
No.
Waterworld ain't got shit on this. I almost said Avatar ain't got shit on this, but they're like, they went forest and they went water, then they went fire and ash.
Fire.
Now they're probably going to go wind.
Then you got to do heart. Go planet. Could you imagine this whole time they've just been building to Captain Planet?
Captain Planet! It's actually Don Cheadle?
Yes. Listen, the Avatars are blue. This has just been an origin story for Captain Planet the whole time. James Cameron's Captain Planet.
The metaphor was the unobtainium the whole time.
That's what they make the rings out of.
Overall, I don't think this is a very audacious movie outside of the story being written off a 7-page short story.
I agree with that.
It's a body horror that looks great. Don't get me wrong, but oh boy.
Cosmic body a lot went horror into this. With a little bit of horniness on the side.
And neon.
A surprising amount of neon. I actually made a comment while we were watching that I thought the neon horror thing was a more recent development than it is.
It's not even close to being that recent.
No, this proved me wrong. Very wrong.
Audacity 4? I don't know why. It doesn't feel like it is terribly audacious.
Yeah, I think I'm there with you. Because I agree. Because as far as body horror goes, there's nothing in here that's like that's going to shock you more than anything like The Fly would.
Or anything like Pink Flamingos would.
Right.
Yeah, I'm okay with a 4.
I think a 4 is perfect here. The next category is the heart.
I don't know with this one.
We usually score very high in the heart because it's obvious. You can usually see right on the screen how much these directors cared and what went into making it.
And I do think Stuart Gordon cared because he had done The Reanimator before this and made buku bucks on it.
Absolutely.
But then he stays teamed up with Charles Band, the producer.
Yeah.
And Charles Band's a very interesting person because he does that thing where he just wants to make money very quickly.
Hollywood producers in the 80s.
But he goes about it in one of the weirder ways possible because he had his own production company called Charles Band International Pictures. But then he didn't like the way that the distributors were distributing his movies. So he disbanded his own company to form another company called Empire Pictures, where he just distributed his own movies.
So like not vertical integration so much as just like parallel integration.
It was just sideways. Just went completely sideways.
She's like, I produced movies, I sold that business, and now I distribute the movies that I already produced.
Exactly. He doesn't drink fucking Merlot. So the thing about Charles Band is that since he's such a cheap bastard and he wants to get these movies out as quickly as he can and for as little money as he can, he budgets for this movie and he wants to figure out what it's actually going to cost. And he comes up with the number $15 million.
That's if you make it in America.
It's the same amount of money that Top Gun cost this year to make, 1986.
That's crazy.
Because, again, cheap fuck, he instead takes the movie to Italy. He buys Dino De Laurentiis's Dino Chitta Studios for $20 million from the Italian government because they had seized it from the De Laurentiis estate family, whatever it was, for unpaid taxes. Oh, whoa, what a surprise. Whoa, you couldn't have told me. Whoa.
What? Taxes?
So Charles Band takes this production out there and he shoots the movie Dolls with Stuart Gordon also directing that at the same time. So two movies being filmed in Rome at the same time by two Americans. They were in for a bit of a cultural surprise because,
oh, yeah.
Yes, this is 1986, but no, the Italians still don't give a fuck because they are still doing ADR for their movies instead of recording live dialogue with the actors on set.
Yeah.
And it's a disaster.
There's actually a story of somebody, like a worker near the set who was hammering something and they asked him to stop. And he said, Fellini never made me stop. And then I guess Stuart Gordon said, I'm not Fellini. And the worker said, I'll say.
But that's the thing that blows my mind about it is that this movie is filmed in 1986, comes out in 1986. Fellini hadn't really been big at this point for 20 years, 30 years,
yeah.
40 years.
Yeah.
But the way that they used to shoot movies in Italy is that they would shoot the movie and then they would go back in and dub all the dialogue. At this point, it's been like 20 years, 30 years, 40 years since Fellini was like big and the where
yeah.
really, I mean, you could see it like in the Fellini movies. It's very clear that it's dubbed dialogue. It's the way that it was always done there. With all foreign movies, they were legally required to be dubbed.
Oh.
And the Italians apparently were very good at doing this and like masking regional accents and stuff and hiding bad vocal performances that they became very good at doing the dubbing and they really just leaned into it. They looked at movie making for the most part, like the crews at least, as just like a visual canvas. They knew it was just going to be done in post for the most part with the sound. So they would just be hammering away on sets in these sound stages knowing like, fuck it, they're not going to use the sound anyway. It doesn't matter.
Wild.
It is wild, especially in 1986. They should have known at this point, like be a little bit professional, just a little bit, just a teeny, itty, tiny, itty, bitty bit.
And Fellini let me hammer all the time. How old was this guy?
But then apparently also at this studio when they were filming the two movies at the same time, it was two entirely different crews that Stuart Gordon had a lot of trouble managing because they both worked differently and it was an entire mess. I don't know if there's any heart in this. I think that's where I'm getting at. At least on the director side, the producer side. Maybe on the special effects side, there's plenty of heart because there's like four different units working on this at once.
Yeah, there's four different special effects units. Also, this is his second H.P. Lovecraft film because Reanimator is also based on a Lovecraft story. And he'd eventually go on to do a third Lovecraft film, I think also with Jeffrey Combs and Barbara Crampton. So there's something here that he likes and enjoys doing.
It's just so interesting, though, because like H.P. Lovecraft is known for being abstract.
Yeah.
And it's very hard to visualize. Maybe that's it, though, is he just says, I can make something look pretty awesome right now just by using my brains, and here we go.
Yeah. And there's really nobody who could say, that's not what it's supposed to look like.
That's actually pretty cool. I like that.
Yeah.
That being said, the heart. Six.
I like six.
I almost went to seven, but I couldn't.
No, I think six is right.
What a weird start for this movie.
Very weird start.
Oh, man.
It's all the moisture in the air.
It's a very wet movie.
It's very wet.
Very wet.
Technical incompetence.
It's not there.
No, this is a very competent movie.
He's a really good filmmaker.
It looks great. The lighting they use when they go into the extra dimensional stuff with the neon pinks and the... Yeah. All the special effects are so well executed.
The movie looks really, really good.
And really gross by design.
Oh, man. I'm going to go with a one.
I think we have to.
And it's just to give it something?
To give it something, yeah. Which brings us to low budget ingenuity.
It's a $2.5 million movie. They budgeted it out to $15 million. He said, I'll make it in Italy. It'll be $2.5 million. Here's the movie.
And somehow that worked.
It worked. Worked just fine.
Is that a creative way to do it? I don't know. Is it ingenious? Not really.
No, I mean, I got nothing. Like, it's annoying, actually,
It's annoying. I want this movie to do better.
Yeah.
On our schlockometer.
Yeah, I like this movie.
I'm now getting arbitrarily angry at this movie.
Damn it, do something worse.
Like, what did I do to you to make you score this low? It's not your fault.
It's not your fault, Stuart Gordon. Jeffrey Combs, you were great.
It's not your fault. It's not
your fault. Don't you say that, man. Don't do that to me.
Two?
It feels so low, but like...
He moved the movie to Italy to make it worse for literally everyone.
It's pretty ingenious. No. No, it's really not.
Oh, man, this is low scoring. Not good.
This is
not
hurting.
Good.
Okay.
What is happening? Okay.
How about this? Genre exploitation.
It's body horror. And they did all the body horror.
They did all the body horror.
Nailed it.
They did some of the most horrible body horror I've seen.
It's probably got Ted.
Stuff springing from foreheads, people getting their heads twisted off, eating brains, sucking brains through eye sockets.
They pissed off the MPAA.
They really pissed off the MPAA with this one.
10. Fuck it.
Fuck it, 10. That brings us to what we've been teasing this whole time.
We're here. We did it. It finally happened.
The Holy Trinity.
So far, the movies that we talked about, Birdemic got a 5. I don't remember what gave it a 5. Did we say, like, oh, it was a 6, but then it was, like, worse. So we knocked the point. I don't remember.
Something like that.
Someone will write in and say, you guys, Tommy, I don't remember your own rules. It's arbitrary for a reason.
It's totally arbitrary. It's all from the seat of the pants.
The highest we scored, Deathbed got a 7. Kung Pao got a 7. Giant Claw got a 7. The Stuff got a 7. Dolomite got a 7. Basket Case got a 7 for the Holy Trinity. So those are all 2 out of 3 meatloaf math. Not too shabby.
Pink Flamingo's got an 8.
That's a very good point. Pink Flamingo's broke me. Maybe that's why.
Going above and beyond.
We have finally done it. And we have our first Holy Trinity, which, again, does not make it a Holy Trinity by any means if it took us 12 episodes to get it. But here we are.
But here we are. Blood. We've got it. A little bit. Not a lot, but a little.
Not a lot.
But enough to qualify.
Yeah.
Boobs.
We got it.
We got them.
Not a lot, but enough to qualify.
Yeah. And booms. Not a lot, but enough to qualify.
When I saw that bomb at the end, I started losing my mind thinking,
we're going to get
a chance. There's a chance.
We're going to do it.
It could happen. That bomb needs to explode. And in this movie, yeah, it's 50-50. If that thing's going off or not, I really didn't know.
That's true. There was a chance that it could have gotten jammed up by a fire extinguisher or something.
This has got to be a full-blown 10.
Yeah.
And you know what? Because it's the first, I want to give it an 11.
Boom. I love it. Yeah. Bump up that score, even though it barely got blood and booms.
Or maybe, if anything hits the Holy Trinity, we just give it an 11.
I think that's probably fair.
Because we're realizing how hard it is to hit the Holy Trinity.
It actually is difficult to get all three.
It might not be all that holy. It might just be three things.
It might just be three things that appear frequently in different combinations. This one almost didn't get it because the MPAA was giving Stuart Gordon a lot of issues with the Reanimator over the amount of blood. So they're like, well, what we'll do is we will do less blood. We'll replace it instead with slime. And it ended up causing them even more trouble because the MPAA was like, that's way worse. It's so gross.
Well, even with the Reanimator, they're like, well, we're giving you an X because that's just way too much of everything. And he said, okay, I'm just going to release it myself.
Yeah. They wanted to release this one, so they cut. Instead of cutting entire scenes, they just cut back the timing on every scene.
Yeah, which is a choice, and I get it. And it's kind of like tighten it up and kind of make it just look quick so that you might blink and miss it, kind of like Psycho shower scene style where it's like, no one ever gets
exactly.
It. It's that.
Right.
But the way I understand, the way I read about it was the MPAA was so furious about the Reanimator being a hit after he didn't accept their rating and he just put it out, that they were gunning for him for this one.
Not surprised.
But then I also don't understand why he didn't just do the old trick of go over the top.
Yeah. I know there was at least one scene that was completely cut with Dr. Pretorius when he was still human. Apparently, like, put a nail through a girl's tongue.
That's unnecessary. That should be cut for that reason. Yeah, that doesn't do anything.
Part of his BDSM attic dungeon shenanigans.
Unless... was the tongue the over the top?
Maybe.
Like what you do in these situations where you have things that are really, really gross and really, really yucky and you want to get it by the MPAA is you put something in there or a couple things in there that are so far over the top that that's what's going to draw the attention. That's what's going to get cut.
Maybe that's what that scene was.
Oh, that backfired then because the brain eating scene ended up on the cutting room floor famously. And yeah. Stuart Gordon was not happy. All that to say we'll get there again.
Yeah, again. Well, there's more getting there.
Well, it was at the end, but just I got a little longer, I guess.
Yeah, it's the 11 for the Holy Trinity. And that brings us right into memorable characters.
I am going to forget literally all of their names, but I'm never going to forget that little dangly penal gland or whatever it was. Never. Exactly. Never. Yeah, never, ever, never, ever.
Not a chance I remember any of their names except maybe Pretorius. Maybe.
I'm going with an 8. Like, that's going to haunt me.
But yeah, that little dangly guy
is a big one for me.
And just like the transformation of the Pretorius monster creature, like he becomes like this weird thing with a long neck and like his head is like bobbing around the screen. And it's just bizarre. And so it's burned into my head for sure.
Nightmare fuel.
He's got a dangly neck with a dangly thing protruding from his forehead. It's just so much dangle.
You don't dangle the dangle, right? Or do you dangle the dangle? How do you would you put a dangle on another dangle? Would that be a double dangle or would that just be a single dangle with a dangle on top? Kind of like whenever you hit like a
right?
like a baseball, you get a single, but then like a guy is going to round third, and he's going to go home, and you're like, well, I'm going to take two. And I know it's only a single plus an extra base. It's not a double.
Right.
Like, the little glue sniffer with the book tell you any differently. Sorry.
It's not a dangle on a dangle so much as it's just an extended dangle.
Either way, new boot scooting. Quotes is next. You got anything?
I had one. Oh, when he bit his head off like a gingerbread man.
That was the only one I wrote down for the
entire movie. It's such a good line reading.
Movie.
The way Jeffrey Combs looks directly into the camera and says, like a gingerbread man. Yeah.
He did it with the same attitude that you would look into the camera and say, hot tub time machine.
Exactly.
Like that amount of commitment. But that's not what this movie's called. Why did you say it like that?
Wait a minute. This movie's not called Like a Gingerbread Man.
It's a great line. I can't believe that line. That's the one you got to.
It's the only one, though.
Yeah. 8's aggressive, but I like the movie, damn it. 6 aggressive. I said 8. 8's even more aggressive. 6 is down to
8 is so aggressive.
Look how reasonable we are giving it a 6. Look at us.
Hey, I see what you're doing. You're like, you're putting out the obscene thing so you can cut it back later.
I'm producing.
Yeah, 6. Here we go. 6, okay. Entertainment value.
I don't know.
Really?
Yeah, because I like this movie, damn it. I do.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought it was going to be like 10 minutes longer while watching it. So there was a part of it that's like, wait, that was it? But then a part of it was like, no, that was definitely it.
But that's all it needs to be, I think.
But then what was it at the same time? Because I honestly got feelings of like when I watched the movie like Hostel, where it just felt like that's torture porn.
Yeah.
And this was body horror, and it's all just to get the reaction from the audience, and I understand that.
Yeah.
And at some point, a story helps. Even porns have stories, right?
Well, this had porn, so.
That's a good point.
There was a goopiness to it. They turned the thing on. And
say goop again.
The penile
glands. Say goop again. See what happens.
Goop again. Goop again.
Don't do that 3 times, because then Gwyneth's going to show up.
Then Gwyneth Paltrow will.
And you're just going to have like $600 missing from your bank account, but you're going to have a lube that smells like strawberries. I mean,
where does he get all these fun toys? Goop.com.
They changed it. They changed like where it's sexual wellness and wellness and everything like that. Like navigating, it's harder to do almost.
Why would they make it harder to find the stuff?
I don't know. Unless like Gwyneth is turning a page and she's like, I'm getting older and it's much less moist.
Maybe it's time to be a little less goopy. So the resonator sound effect, they actually ended up sampling that in Intergalactic by the Beastie Boys.
Yeah, they did.
One of my favorite things I learned about this movie.
There's a lot of cool things about this movie. Even like the Stravinsky musical tones with like the Petruska notes and stuff like that. Or
yeah.
Like, oh, weird how this all works. It so weird.
A fever dream still.
Still. That being said.
Apparently it has a sequel that I didn't know about.
Okay. How do you go from beyonder? From farther beyond?
It's called The Resonator.
Oh.
And it came out in 2021.
That's too late. That's way too late.
Yeah.
Who do you think you are, Troma?
Well, I guess it was directed by like completely different people. It's not really connected, but they're calling it like a spiritual sequel.
Oh God, to I From Beyond. Do not care for the term spiritual sequel.
Yeah.
It either is or it isn't.
Actually, it looks like, hold on, Crawford Tillinghast is a character in it, so it has to be a sequel, right?
So this could be like a Sharkboy and Lava Girl in 3D scenario where they like tie him in kind of eventually.
Yeah, I might have to check this out. It's apparently on Prime. It started off as a 6-episode series and then it was edited into a full movie and released in 2022.
Stay tuned about that.
I have a lot of curiosity about it.
Yeah, I don't care for my curiosity about it, but I'll follow it, damn it.
It does say something, doesn't it?
It sure does.
I guess this is entertaining.
7!
I like 7. That leads us to our final category, cult ability.
This is a really interesting one because the scene with the brain eating that ended up on the cutting room floor got found.
Oh.
And then it got restored into a 4K director's cut.
We love a director's cut with brain eating.
And now we're back to Stuart Gordon's original vision. And that's what we have today. And that's what we know and love. And this thing has become an absolutely massive cult hit.
Yeah. This is actually just in our circle, in our Monday midnight movie madness. This is the most attended one we've had so far.
And I felt like we were the only people who hadn't seen it. So that was fun.
Yeah, it seemed like everybody was there to see our reaction to it.
It was weird how it's like, I don't know. This must have been like what zoo animals feel like.
Yeah.
Like, it was odd. It was fun reacting to it, though.
It's interesting.
The chats are open, folks. Fire away when you're in there. Have a good time.
Get in there. Talk it up. Send some gifts.
Cultability, it's a 10. Easy 10.
So much fun.
Share it with all your friends. Share it with your family. Your meemaw at Thanksgiving would appreciate this.
Is that Barbara Crampton from Days of Our Lives? What is she wearing? I understand, though, the want to see somebody else react to it. Because I think that's part of the fun of the cultability. Because now I want to introduce it to other people and see how they react.
I do, too. And I think that more people need to throw more things at us.
Yeah.
I mean, we let the computer, the AI, really dig in and pick the next movie. That's legit. Where we don't know what we're talking about next week, and I throw it into the computer, and it has the whole list of everything we talk about and all that stuff, and it's like, this one.
Hit him with this.
Done. You got it, computer.
You got it, pewter.
Most of these movies I haven't seen, and you haven't seen, and we haven't seen, and apparently a lot of other people have.
Yeah.
And that's pretty neat.
It's pretty cool, and it's fun to... The people who have seen it to see our reaction to it.
Come share.
Hit that Discord link in the show notes.
It's a fun community.
We're having a good time.
Do you want to know who didn't have a good time with this movie? Or maybe he did. I'm not sure.
Who?
Roger Ebert.
The one and only.
He gave this 2.5 stars.
Okay.
He said, the slime, I gather, is edible. It comes in 10-gallon drums and is the same stuff McDonald's once used to give body to their milkshakes. I don't know the product trademark, but I would like to think the manufacturers package it like a generic grocery item in big white cans with black letters that say, slime. They use a lot of it in From Beyond, where creatures from other dimensions appear in our world, dripping with mucus and goo. I think he tried making a joke.
Yeah, gross. I don't want to think about what I saw in this movie being in a milkshake.
No, not at all. He said, at a time when almost any exploitation movie can make money if its ads are clever enough, this is a movie that tries to mix some satire and artistry in with the slime, so he kind of got it too.
Yeah, it is over the top.
It is, and Roger Ebert did say a whole bunch of other shit in the middle, and it led to one of my favorite comments of all time that just really summed up the internet as a whole, where someone from 3 years ago replied and said, Roger is right, though he described a 3-star movie rather than a 2.5-star one. And I feel like that right there is the internet.
Oh, God, that's the internet. I agree with everything you said, except his actual rating.
It's a 0.5-star higher, clearly based on the words that you said. Clearly.
Come on, man. Give it the love it deserves. I did think of something with technical incompetence.
What do you got?
Those bugs from the other dimension kind of gave me Birdemic vibes.
Big time Birdemic vibes, except these moved and they weren't just a single Photoshop.
They did move, but they did not blend with the scene at all.
Technical incompetence. The slime. I
should mention the slime.
What's to mention the slime?
There's obviously movie slime.
Of course.
Charles Band, cheap producer that he is, did not want to waste space and wait on an airplane to fly it from Hollywood. So he just said, fuck it, we'll just make it in Italy.
Yeah, we'll just make Italian slime.
And then they made Italian slime. And it stunk.
Oh, no.
It was made from like all natural ingredients. And they added this other type of ingredients to like really thicken it up like you would do. But once they like added the water, and because the natural ingredients gave it like a shelf life of time. And since they only had so much, by the end of the shoot, it went completely rancid.
Oh, no.
So a lot of the reactions that you see from the actors regarding the slime, completely genuine.
Yeah.
It was horrible, apparently.
Gross. That seems like some technical incompetence. Do we want to adjust our one?
Give it a bump.
Two.
Give it a slimy bump.
Three.
Rancid slimy bump. No, two's fine. Chill out. Yeah, we'll relax. Okay, what did this thing score?
Okay. We ended up giving From Beyond a 66.
2 out of 3.
Which is exactly the score that it has on IMDb.
Oh, dear. This were a different show. We'd be drinking right now.
We would be. Rotten Tomatoes, 73% critical, 70% audience, 60% on Metacritic, 3.5 on Letterboxd. So we're a little low based on all those, but I think we were scoring on a different scale here.
I think so, too. And arbitrarily, it did just fine.
Yeah, arbitrarily just fine. But would I recommend it? Absolutely.
Absolutely. No hesitation.
You know, if you're into that horny, slimy kind of thing. But that has been From Beyond. I want to know, what are we talking about next week?
Well, I am so happy that you asked. Let me just put all this information into our AI 2 weeks? Computer. Man, so it's gonna... Oh, boy.
Oh, boy?
Oh, boy.
What does oh, boy mean?
It's something that had to pop up eventually, and I'm so happy that it did. Now, Brian, are you ready?
I'm ready as I'll ever be.
We need to introduce a new character to the show for the next episode, I think.
Okay.
Because in 2 weeks of the next episode, we're going to be talking about the 2005 movie, Alone in the Dark, directed by Uwe fucking Boll!
Okay, now we're talking.
I avoid this man.
So German.
Yeah, he fights critics. He yells at people a lot. He's a terrible filmmaker. He's controversial. And I've never been so excited to watch and talk about a movie.
Oh, this is very exciting.
This is very exciting.
All right, yeah. I'm fully torqued. Let's go.
Next episode, find out if Brian gets untorqued. What we talk about Alone in the Dark.
Until then, thank you for listening. Be sure to rate, review, subscribe, share this episode. Follow us on Patreon, patreon.com/McGuffin Studios. That's Mac like the burger, Guffin like a muffin. We've got all sorts of exclusive content on there spanning multiple shows. New stuff coming out every month. Follow the link in our show notes to the Discord where we do our Monday midnight movie madness. That's not at midnight. It's at 10 because we're adults. Follow us on social media at BMovieBoys on Facebook and Instagram. You can email us.
It just sounded so patronizing when you said, because we're adults.
We are. Damn it. Can't start movies at midnight.
Let me go pay bills. Let me go do my taxes, adults.
I don't want to.
Mortgages. IRAs. We're adults. We watch movies at 10 o'clock instead of midnight.
Whoa. I'm not that adult. IRAs. I'm never retiring.
Our whole age group is our generation is going to work until we're fucking dead.
What is Social Security? We're not getting that. You can email any movie suggestions you have for us at bmovieboyspod@gmail.com. Maybe we'll kick this AI to the curb if you got some good suggestions.
Throw them away. See what happens. Worst case scenario is we berate you publicly.
Yeah, we go, no way, guy. Choose something from the slot machine instead.
Brian. Do you have anything else?
That is it for me.
Fantastic. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thanks for hanging out with us. You are all the absolute best, except for the one, and that one is Uwe Boll, and we'll get there in 2 weeks when we talk about 2005's Alone in the Dark. But until then, just imagine
your best bud. You're sitting across from him at the bar. You're having a nice pint, and you're talking about life. And then his pineal gland enlarges, and his little pineal gland pops out of his forehead, and it's a lot like the little alien thing that pops out of John Hurt's chest in Alien. Except this time, it looks at you, and it says,
"Good journey!"